Notable speech stars at Newbury. What's happened to Albert Einstein? Who wins at Epsom? And it's D-Day for affordability checks on Thursday. That and more on this week's Front Page. Yes, hello and welcome to the Front Page, your weekly news and editorial show here at The Racing Post. We're here to give you all of the news updates from the last week that's gone by. Plenty of big stories in the racing world, and I'm joined by an excellent team to discuss this with myself, Sam Hart. I've got Lewis Porteous in the studio with me, and joining us via video link, we have Mr. Liam Head, our Lambourne correspondent. Great to have you both on board. So we've got plenty to talk about. Like I say, we've got a review of the weekend coming up, also a review of the classic trials. We had York's Dante meeting last week, and we'll talk about other classic trials that happened and get the guys fancied for the Oaks and Derby coming up in a few weeks time. We've got some chat around the affordability checks, a big day on Thursday coming up. Lewis will take us through some of that, and then we'll look ahead to the weekend. Curragh is the main focus, the Irish 1000 and 2000 guineas, along with the Tattersalls Gold Cup. So let's get straight into it. We'll look back at the weekend that's just gone by, as we often do here on the Front Page. And we look at Kalpana as our first horse. She won the Aston Park Stakes there at Newbury. She was really impressive. Well, she looked like she was going to be really impressive. West Wind Blows tried to come back at her towards the finish. But look, Liam, you were there on Saturday. She did look magnificent. And you'd be more than happy with that for her first start of the season.
Yeah, exactly, Sam. I think it was just, firstly, it was important to get a run under her belt. You know, Andrew Balding has had a great sort of time of things with her. Obviously, she had a great campaign last year and ended on a high, winning the fillies, fillies and mares on Champions Day. So it was great to get her back. You know, it was we spoke sort of in the lead up to the race about sort of what Kalpana would see. It was going to prove a difficult task, given the fact that she was given weight away to all of the opposition, and the fact that she was the only one in the field not to have had a run before the race. So there was plenty of questions to be asked, but I think she did it very professionally under Colin Keane, and you can only be impressed with what you saw. You know, she'll come on heap amount for the run and the performance. And, you know, all in all, Andrew Balding was pleased with what he saw when he was speaking to the media after the race.
Yeah, she was really just very impressive. And Colin Keane's had a really good time of things, Lewis, to start the season. We will talk about Legacy Link and Item shortly. But, yeah, Colin Keane, a great ride.
Yeah, Judgment's got an embarrassment of riches, and Colin's a man in charge, but he's got the head for the occasion, I should think. I was impressed with Kalpana. It's 11 lengths back to the third. Mm. I think it was a mightily impressive comeback. West Wind Blows, no mug. As Liam said, he had the fitness on his side. It was a way she quickened to go into lead, and then maybe got a bit tired at the end, which she's entitled to do. She's got some obviously very good strong form at Ascot, and I think another crack at the King George's, if she was my filly, that's where I'd be looking. She gave Calandagan a fright last year, and with a filly's allowance, like, she's going to be dangerous in sort of open sex group ones this year.
Yeah, she will be. I think they did say that, you know, they'll work their way back from the fillies and mares as well on Champions Day, which is probably a realistic target instead of the Arc this season. We'll just wait and see. Now, another big horse, or what was meant to be a big horse that ran on Saturday, was Albert Einstein, who finished second. This horse here, Lewis, is a bit of an enigma, because Aidan O'Brien at the start of the season, this was the big hype horse for Aidan O'Brien. Yep. We're all expecting a Guineas contender, then the mile didn't work out, then they dropped back to 6 furlongs, and I don't know what it is, it just didn't look like he really wanted to get his head in front.
Yeah, you thought it was on, didn't you? About around halfway, he's tanking, he's in the lead, but he just didn't seem to be helping Ryan more, in my eyes. He got to the front, and then it was sort of maybe just hanging fire or waiting for company. There was a moment where you just thought, right, go and put this to bed now. Show us what Aidan's been telling us. Open up by, you know, a couple of lengths. But like I said, I just felt he was just waiting for a bit of company, and then sort of got a little bit worried out of it in the end. So it's a horse that's... the hype's been built up and built up and built up, and he's just not living up to it. It was a perfectly acceptable run, don't get me wrong, but there was just left you with a lot more questions than answers again.
Absolutely. Liam, do you think with this horse we will actually see a big day in him? Sometimes there are these Aidan O'Brien horses that eventually do come to the level that's expected, but it's been a tough ride so far.
It has. I mean, when Aidan O'Brien says something, and when he says it with such bullishness about a horse, you kind of have to take stock and think, right, well, the time will come. But, you know, he's had three runs now, two of them at Newbury, and I've been there both times, and he's just been so, like you said, it's so puzzling to figure out, you know, whether it's the 6 furlong he wants, or it's the mile, whether it's going back to 5 furlong. I wouldn't be surprised if he went back, even back, you know, to the minimum distance for something at the Royal Meeting. It's just really hard to sort of get your head to grips with where the ceiling lies with this horse. You know, he's had three runs now this season, and each of them have just been so underwhelming. But you'd like to think that we will see at some stage this season the sort of levels that Aidan O'Brien seems to think he has in the locker. Yeah, again, it was a strange to see him, you know, that he went off a short price there at Newbury as well. So a lot of people thought, right, he's had a couple of runs and this is where we're going to see, you know, the true Albert Einstein. But again, we're left with more sort of questions and answers.
Yeah, we really are. Let us know down in the comments. Do engage with the show. Let us know, what would you do with Albert Einstein? We're intrigued to hear your opinions. Now, the big Group 1 winner of the weekend was Notable Speech. This was an interesting one because this horse midweek was a big price based on the form of Charlie Appleby Lewis. But on the Friday, he had two winners at Newmarket, and then everyone was going, oh, he's back. And then the money poured in for Notable Speech, who probably was the class angle in this year's lock-ins. He's a star horse, he's a very good miler, and the ground came up perfect for him. It was a really impressive display.
That was an astonishing move in the market, wasn't it? His price absolutely collapsed. I loved everything about that performance, Sam. I love the confidence Buick rode him with. Just pulling him back. It was almost like tightening the elastic band and then ping, letting him go. He's got an incredible turn of foot. It was probably a performance that the mild division was crying out for. It looked quite an open division on paper. He really stamped his class and his authority. And, I mean, off the back of that, you'd be saying he's probably banking material for the Queen Anne. The niggling doubt there is he's been to Ascot twice, lost twice. Admittedly, one was on the round course in St James's. But last year, I went back and had a look at that race yesterday, and he does travel noticeably well in the Queen Anne last year, but I think the key to that horse is maybe tracking the right horse through, something that can take him right to the heels of the leader, where he had to sort of go down on a wing last year, and when he played his hand, the race had almost got away from him. I don't really see why Ascot should be an issue for him. I just think what would hold me back going in strongly at this stage is that, for whatever reasons, you do get unlucky in run-ins at Ascot, and I just think on the day it might be tactical. If it's a true run affair where he can track the right horse through, he's definitely, there's no real horse in that division who's got a turn of foot like him, I'd suggest.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Currently around 2-1 for the Queen Anne at the Royal Meeting as well. And it's interesting because Charlie Appleby's also got Opera Ballo as well, who I think probably wants the ground a little bit softer compared to Notable Speech. Were there any other horses, Liam, in that lock-in that kind of caught the eye? You had the likes of Zeus Olympius, Lion in Winter, Damies Us all towards the top of the market. Were any of those of interest to keep on side next?
I thought Zeus Olympius ran a very solid race. I spoke to Carl Burke after the race, and he was relatively happy. He was kind of going into the unknown a little bit, given the fact that it was his first Group 1. He's an exciting horse. You know, he had a good campaign last year, and he's sort of taken that into this year by running a couple of credible performances. I must say, I thought Dancing Gemini, I've got my Lamborn hat on here at the moment, but Dancing Gemini for Roger Teal ran a cracking race. He was sent off 33-1. He went massively under the radar. Obviously, finished second in the race 12 months ago. And he stayed on well. And Roger Teal was thrilled with the performance after. And I think the plan for him now is to go up in distance to a mile and a quarter. He thinks he'll get every inch of that. I think wherever he goes next, up in trip, I think he's one to certainly keep an eye on.
Okay, there you go. A few to keep an eye on. We're at last words on the week, and then Liam, I'll get you to just give a quick review of the London Gold Cup that happened. That's often a very good race to kind of whack every horse into your tracker, it seems. And the Lost Boys won it this year. Was it as good a race again as it usually can be?
It was. We've seen down the years, you know, the likes of Israel's won the race, and you know, these horses go on to perform well and win group races in the future. And I do like the way that Lost Boys won the race for David Menezier. You know, progressed, is what won three times in a row now, and you know the ceiling, you know, could be very high for this one. He's you know, David Menezier, you know, often throws up a couple of gems here and there, and I just think it's a it's a race that we obviously have to keep an eye on for the form and see how it goes throughout the season.
Yeah, and then the other potential Royal Ascot clues there were at the weekend came from Nace Lewis. We had Charles Darwin, who's another horse of Aidan O'Brien's, who was Commonwealth Cup bound, finishing last. They didn't seem too disappointed in terms of the fact that they still think this horse will be heading to the Commonwealth Cup. We had Victorious Win, she could go for the Albany. And then we had Mission Century, who's on the front of the paper on Monday, who looks bound for the Old King Stand, the King Charles III Stakes. Were there any that really impressed you at the weekend at Nace?
I like the filly Victorious. I thought it's a race with quite a rich history. Alpha Centauri, horses like that have won that race and gone on to a great thing. Port Fortuna recently as well. She looked, the latest star off the two-year-old sort of production line at Ballydoyle, and looked sort of it's no surprise to see her towards the head of the market for the opening, put it that way. I was impressed with her.
Okay, yeah, Victorious the one then from Lewis from Nace. Right, let's get into some of the classic trials. Like I say, we've reviewed the weekend, but we also had the Dante meeting last year. But let's just go through some of the classic trials that have already been and the relative prices for horses. So Amelia Earhart, she won the Cheshire Oaks. She's 9-4 for the Oaks at Epsom. Benvenuto Cellini won the Chester Vars, 5-2 for the Derby currently. Constitution River, he won the D Stakes. He's 6-1 for the Derby, but maybe going to France. Cameo won the Lingfield Oaks trial, 16-1 for the Oaks. Maltese Cross, the Lingfield Derby trial winner, 10-1 for the Derby itself. Musadora winner, Legacy Link. She's now 5-1 for the Oaks. Dante winner was Item. He's 5-1 for the Derby. And the Leopardstown Derby trial winner was James J. Braddock, currently 16-1. Ezra won the Newbury trial that happened at the weekend. Sea of Glass won that a few years back. And I'm the one out of the Oaks. She was going to be the next enable, as we're calling her, Lewis. I'm sure you've heard plenty around Newmarket about this horse here. But out of all of these trial winners, including last week's Dante meeting, have there been any that you've gone, that's the one?
I mean, in the Derby, I would boringly say I think Ballydoyle have still got a stranglehold. I like the two Chester winners for the Colts, Benvoluti Cellini and Constitution River. I would, if you ran both, I'd probably favour Constitution River. I just got a bit of the wow factor, but I think the Ballydoyle will win that whatever. I see the Oaks as a more open picture. I thought I liked Legacy Link in the Musidora. She impressed me. Travel through it like a very good filly. Everyone seems to sure she's going to improve again, stepping up in trip. I kind of feel like 10 furlongs might turn out to be her best trip. Watching it again, the third horse, K-Sarah, came from a long way back to really get onto the tails at the end. And I know it's all right staying on when the race has already been won, but she's a horse at 20-1. I think I'd probably back in her than Legacy Link personally at a price. I think the guy who might be most pleased watching these trials is actually Charlie Johnson. Got Venetian Lace.
Yeah.
The Phillies Mile from last year is working out particularly well. She was second in that. She was third in the Guineas. She looks like the sort of Johnson horse that will just keep galloping. And I think she'll get quite a lot of them in trouble at Epsom. She's around a 10-1 shot. She would probably be my each way play for the Oaks at this stage.
Yeah, Charlie seems really bullish as well on Venetian Lace. Liam, for yourself then, I mean, last week's action, they're both 5-1, the Judgment horses that won last week in those trials. Do you think they can put it up to Ballydoyle?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Item, I thought that was a really impressive performance, given the fact that, you know, he was thrown in at the deep end almost by the Balding team, and given the piece of work that he did in the lead up to the race and the way he won that, you know, quite a lot in hand and beating Action, I just think there's a lot more to come, and you know, I don't have any doubts about the staying trip for the Derby. I mean, the one I'm keen on is Maltese Cross. I watched him win at Newbury on his first time out for William Haggis this season, and they were obviously, I mean, as you are, you're happy when the horse wins, but I get the impression that William Haggas was expecting quite a lot more, and Tom Marquand said the same thing as well. So the fact that they were kind of glad that he got the win and almost a little bit underwhelmed by the way he won the race showed that they obviously think quite a lot of this horse. And he went on to win the Derby trial at Lingfield next time out. You know, he won by the same distance, but his performance was a lot more sort of professional and a lot more taking, and he took the step up to the trip okay, and you know, he's bred to get even further. So I think he's one that that could certainly throw it up to any of the Ballydoyle or the Judmont team. And it's a quite an interesting story as well, because George Ward, the owner, you know, he was interviewed on ITV when the horse won at Lingfield, and he's got this film background, you know, director of film and thing. I just think it brings an added dimension to the race. You know, it's the Epsom, they're trying to make a big thing about the race this year. You know, it's a huge race, and I just think having the sort of different ownership, you know, as we're so used to seeing the Ballydoyle team, the Judmont team, it'd be nice to add that bit of extra flavour to the race, and I think he can be a genuine contender.
Okay, there you go then. Yeah, let us know again, get involved. Let us know who your Oaks pick, who's your Derby pick for this year. I actually agree a little bit, Lewis. I think that the Ballydoyle contingent are the ones to be with. I think the Chester winners are the ones, Amelia Earhart and Benvenuto Cellini would be the double I have, and it's very boring, but there you go. So yeah, get involved with the show. Let us know who you fancy. Now taking a turn to a story that's been ongoing for a long, long time now, and a big week coming up for the affordability checks. Lewis is going to take us through this, but I was reading Lee's piece on Monday saying an almighty mess is about to be made. Lewis, tell us what's coming up this week.
Yeah, well, this is what we've been working towards, really, Sam. The Gambling Commission is set to meet on Thursday, and from what we know, basically, they're going to ask the Commission's board to approve these controversial affordability checks. There just doesn't seem to be any way of stopping that at the moment. It'll come down to the board. And to be honest, racing, I think, has done a good job in arguing its case. But unfortunately, we're preaching to people who just don't want to hear what we've got to say. And they don't want to hear the facts either, which is the most disappointing thing. There was two sort of major developments over the weekend. Firstly, it came to light that the BGC had written to the Gambling Commission just to say that they ain't going to just roll over and accept these affordability checks if they do come in, and they could be subject to a legal challenge. I think at this stage, when you've tried everything, exhausted every avenue, and they're not listening, the one thing that maybe might register with either the government or the Gambling Commission is the risk of a judicial review and legal action. So, it's a last pitch, really, and hopefully someone somewhere will take heed of that. And also over the weekend, 19 MPs representing constituencies with racecourses came together in a show of unity to write to Lisa Nandy, the Culture Secretary, just pointing out one last time just the devastation this is going to have on a huge industry, a massive workforce, and a big contributor to the economy. It was quite damning, that letter, sort of pointing out that, criticising really the government for handing over, you know, full autonomy to this, to the Gambling Commission, when all along the sports minister, past and present, have said that they won't approve it unless these checks are proven to be fully frictionless. There is no evidence that these checks are frictionless, again and again. And what we've got is a case where the Gambling Commission is basically marking its own homework. The evidence that they've collected from a two-year pilot, we have not seen. It's not out there for us to all scrutinise, and which cannot be a way of going about doing these things. So it's devastating, really. It could cost us an estimated $350 million over 5 years, and it'll get worse. And what it also does, it pushes more and more punters towards a black market. The whole I've been banging about this from the start. The whole point of these checks was to protect problem gamblers, and all it's going to do is push more people to a black market that's unregulated, and there is zero protection there. I can't believe how any government can approve that.
Yeah, and reading some of the quotes, I mean, saying there that like one in five people could be affected here. Gambling Commission's acting chief executive, Sarah Gardner, spelled out that one in five punters spending more than £200 a year on betting could be asked to provide personal financial documents in order to give permission by the state to carry on betting. Liam, it's just really not an ideal situation. We have to wait to find out what we hear on Thursday.
Yeah, it's just throws more doubt into the future of the sport, you know, more than anything. And it's worrying that we're sort of getting to this stage and we still don't know what the outcome, you know, the sort of worries and concerns from people in the industry have been said. You know, there was a strike on this situation, and we've kind of done everything we possibly can at this stage to identify how damning these affordability checks can be. And you know, the betting revenue is such an important thing for racing, and if that gets damaged, then you know, it questions the future of the sport.
Yeah, and there's like this decision that's made on Thursday, this isn't going to be instant. Like, we're not going to see sort of instantly everything come in, are we? There's going to be a gradual process.
Absolutely, and the full impact will not be known for some time. Mm. This is thinking the commission's board will approve it on Thursday, which it sounds that way. So it won't be instant, but the government can't just hand over full autonomy to the Gambling Commission. They've got to be sure in their own minds that these checks are going to be truly frictionless, which was always promised. And at the moment, there is no evidence of that. But Thursday is like, you can't really underplay how big it is for the future of the sport. A lot rests on this decision. And yeah, you just hope someone somewhere just thinks, we've gone down the wrong path here. We need to press pause. The government must ask for this evidence. The Gambling Commission seems to think there is, but no one's seen that they are frictionless, because it's just going to have a catastrophic effect and it'll end up with more punters without protection.
And that knock-on effect that could happen for the whole wider sport, what are some of the things that could happen? Like, some of the viewers might want to kind of know a little bit more detail or understand a little bit more. What could happen from just this on the affordability checks down the line?
Well, I mean, the big one is an impact on a levy. But all bets placed, say, in the black market, in the illegal arena, none of that goes back to the sport. Under licensed bookmakers, a portion of that goes back into racing. It's racing's main funding. So that's huge. But it has an impact everywhere, though. It'll impact prize money. It'll impact, which has a knock-on effect to jobs. It'll turn owners away. It's like a stack of dominoes, really. Not one, they all go over. It's just at a time when the sport faces a lot of headwinds, this is just one that could really have a catastrophic impact.
Yeah, it really could. And you'll get full coverage here on the Racing Post through the paper and online. We'll give plenty of updates on our social media feed as well. But Thursday, a massive day for the sport. Right, let's get into a few little quick positive news. I actually saw this morning on Ascot's social media pages that they've sold out the Queen Anne enclosure for the Thursday. Great to see that people are getting involved with racing. I can imagine the Royal Meeting this year is going to have some huge attendance. Other big stories, Willie Mullins, he won the French Triumph Hurdle at the weekend over at O'Toy. Rich Ritchie, Selma Davari won that in nice style as well. Some really nice stories there. And we've got a big weekend coming up this week at the Curragh, as I mentioned at the top of the show. We've got the Irish 1,000 and 2,000 guineas in the Tattersalls Gold Cup. Let's talk about the Irish 2,000 guineas coming up first, Liam, and Gstaad, or Gstaad, however you would like to pronounce it. I think it's currently about 11-4 on to win the race this weekend. Obviously, the form behind Bo Echo, but if you take Bo Echo out of the race, he would have looked like Franco himself.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, Gstaad is obviously the natural one to beat. It sounds like, I know there was talk of Bo Echo after he won the guineas coming over for this, but it sounds like George Bowie's made the decision, it's looking like that the horse is going to go straight to the Royal Meeting. So one less thing for Gstaad and the Ballydore team to worry about. So it's an interesting race, you know. There's obviously a lot of talked horses in there. I do think Carl Burke's got a great chance in this race, actually. I think Al Parslan, who won the Greenham Stakes at Newbury, was very impressed with him that day. And Carl is having a phenomenal start to the season. He's already passed the £1 million mark in prize money, the quickest time he's ever done that, as a result of Zeus Olympia's finishing third in the lock-in. So I think his card's not to be downplayed a lot. I just think there was talk of whether he was going to go for one of the for the Guineas in Britain after winning at Newbury, but I think the decision to wait for Ireland could be the right call.
Okay, I'll pass, and then one to look out for the Carl Burke team in that Irish 2000 Guineas. I'm of the opinion after the 2000 Guineas, Lewis, that I actually think Stard will definitely get closer next time out to Boeco. I do think Stard is a top-class horse and maybe could even beat Boeco down the line. What do you make of Stard? Is he that good compared to the rest of this field?
Oh, he's banker material on Saturday. It's for me, that was, like you say, you take Boeco out and you've got a hugely impressive horse. I'm a massive fan of Boeco. I think a horse that gets that close must be pretty special himself. So I expect him to win the Irish, and then you get your showdown in the St James's Palace, which will be nice, the rematch. I think for the fillies is a good race. It'd be interesting if Aidan Let's Precise and True Love both go there. I mean, that would be a belter. A lot of people think Precise will improve a lot for the run because she had a couple of setbacks, but she's going to have to improve considerably to maybe turn it over with True Love. I'd probably be still in the True Love camp. I think the interesting one is Sakanya, who won the Fred Darling. I think that maybe that performance had been underestimated a little bit. She sort of was on the wrong side of the track, came from behind Tulleen and still won. And Tulleen ran not a bad race in the 1000 mm-hmm. Guineas. So I think if something is going to upset the Ballet Doyle apple cart over the weekend, it might be Sakanya. But I've got a feeling we'll be sat here on Monday with Aidan maybe winning both of those classics.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. And then the Tattersall's Gold Cup that happens a week, and we haven't got a full list of who's exactly going to run. We don't know exactly, but I was looking through kind of the list today, and some big names as always.
Yeah, no, Minnie Hawk's one that catches the eye. I've still got a feeling that a mile and a half is her optimum. I think she's a strong galloper, but she's had her run, and she is going to maybe collect it. A group one at 10 furlongs this season. It looks a good opportunity, but there's some interesting horses, isn't there? Like Sadard, there's all sorts of angles to go at it, but Minnie Hawk's the one that, the art runner up. It's always nice when she's in action.
Well, she did look great, and I was interested because Tom Siegel at the back end of last season, all of our kind of tips have to put up an anti-post bet, and he tipped up The Riz and Minnie Hawk to finish first and second in reverse forecast once again in this year's art. But at the moment, looking at the kind of level of the middle distance horses of three-year-olds, I wouldn't be put off that after seeing them both come back.
No, absolutely. it's a bit like As You Were, wasn't it, with Clandigan as well as the older middle distance horses. They set a high standard, don't they?
Yeah.
From last year, I do like Minnie Hawk when she gets in front and starts grinding them down. I just wonder if she's susceptible over 10 furlongs, but we'll see.
Yeah, we will wait and see. Fantastic action coming up this weekend. That's all of our big stories from the week gone by. Like I say, keep on top of the Racing Post website, in the paper, online, and on social media feeds for all the updates of all the big stories coming up. Some big racing coming up this weekend, along with that affordability checks D-Day on Thursday. Big thanks to my panel this week, Lewis Portis in the studio and Liam Head on video link. Thanks very much, guys. And thanks very much to our viewers here. Do like, comment, share and subscribe. And we'll be back again next Monday at 6 p.m. for another Front Page.